Hello, happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on this week's Tripe Supper. Now, myself, Dominic Shaw, Jonathan Taylor, my fellow Gazette Borough writer to my right, and Chris Garbutt, Borough season ticket holder and once a week haircut man. We were going to talk Sunderland straight away, but obviously today we found out the news that Rudy Gusted is ruled out for the rest of the season with that fractured ankle, which is, Jono, a big blow for Tony Pulis.
Yeah, big blow. Well, firstly, big blow for the player, isn't it? Because, I mean, he'd just about nailed down his starting place at Borough for the first time, and he's always kind of seemed like a little bit of a peripheral figure, just dead ever since he kind of signed, 12 months ago. And with the style that he plays, I always think that he's quite an easy target for if a player like him doesn't score goals, if it goes on a bit of a barren run, it's quite easy to attract criticism. And I think he'd have to kind of face a fair amount of that in his Borough career. But it seems that just when he starts to kind of get up and running, and it's happened before, hasn't it, at the start of the season as well, that an injury like this comes around the corner. So the player will be gutted, especially after scoring twice against Hull. And I just say Tony Pulis, because the entire system is built around having Aggerstead up front. And now, between now and May, Pulis is going to have to find a plan B in pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, the selections made it absolutely clear that Gusted was Tony Pulis' first choice. Mm-hmm. But if that was in doubt at all, he made it clear in his press conference when he said that although we've struggled in that area of the pitch, Rudy, more than any other, has looked like scoring. He's going to be a real miss. It's a big disappointment, blah, blah, blah. Which I guess is a little bit of consolation for Gusted in that he knows how highly the manager thinks of him. But still, for Pulis especially, it's going to require a big change, though, isn't it? As John said, a change in the entire system.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's typical that it comes after probably Rudy's best display of the season. Mm-hmm. I think that Pulis and Rudy will have been waiting for that to happen. You know, he gets a bit of stick, obviously, for his goal returns, and that's how strikers are really judged. But he is used as a bit of a battering ram at times, isn't he? Hold the ball up, back to goal, trying to get the rest of the team into play. So he gets his two goals and you know, things start looking up, and then obviously this bad news comes today. Borough look frighteningly short now up there, with the departures of Fletcher and Braithwaite in the January transfer window. But you have to put a spin on it and try and use it as, you know, is this now a springboard for Britt Sombolonga to get his season back on track? I would imagine that he might start tomorrow, although we've just mentioned that maybe Bamford, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does do tomorrow.
I was just saying, John, just quickly on Bamford, because we did a Tripe with Phil and Vic earlier this week, and a large bulk of it was dedicated to Patrick Bamford, where he plays, what's his role going forward. He's not going to get a chance up front. Well, will this be his chance? The kind of initial reaction is this is a Sombolonga's chance, but Bamford also will be itching for a chance to play as a striker. He sees himself as a striker.
He will never get a better chance to play number nine in a central position than now, because clearly, even in the press conference today, as you mentioned, there kind of seemed to be a little bit of a veiled dig at Sombolonga in Pulis, saying that he wants people who bring the maximum, you know, put everything out on the pitch and do what he wants. And that seemed like he was only getting at one person. So Patrick Bamford's got a wonderful chance now. I mean, all he needs to do is keep his head down and keep doing what he's doing. I think that he does deserve a little bit of credit, Patrick, in the fact that he's been playing out on that left-hand side, which clearly isn't his position. He's probably the... He'd be the first to admit he's probably the least worst option out there at the minute, which is some indictment to the likes of Marvin Johnson. But 2 p.m. tomorrow, you would not be surprised if Patrick Bamford started. And then we've seen, you know, 2014-15, we see what he can do. He's got wonderful technique, got lovely movement, and he's a confidence player. He, above anyone really in that Borough team, is a confidence player, always has been. If he can get a couple more goals like he did on Tuesday, if he gets a chance, this is his moment, really.
His goal on Tuesday, where he picked that ball up, the position of the pitch, and the way that he managed to put himself in front of goal and finished it, that's what he's all about, isn't it? Picking up the ball in that sort of 18-yard box area and going through it and finishing. I mean, he's got to be looking now at this and thinking, if I can't get in this Borough team up front now, then, you know, when am I ever going to get a chance to?
You'd still surely say, though, you know, Borough have looked short on goals. Mm-hmm. You'd still surely say, if Borough are to score the goals that they're going to have to score to go up, then your best chance is playing Britta Sombolonga up front. If you were now, if you were building a championship team from scratch, which strikers, how many strikers in the championship would you rather have than a Sombolonga?
Mm-hmm.
very few, but if you ask Tony Pulis that question, it'll be an interesting answer. But no, I completely agree. I mean, Britt, if you looked early in the season under Gary Monk, he started every single game. And as a striker, I mean, you look at the strikers down the years that say as much, you know. That means a lot, knowing that I can go three or four games without a goal here, and I'm starting next week, and then confidence flows. I think Britt's strike rate under Monk was excellent, wasn't it? Now he probably, in mitigation, doesn't know whether he's coming or going. You know, when he starts the games, he expects to be hooked after about an hour, and then when he's not starting the game, he's given 8 minutes like he was at Cardiff. So very difficult for a striker who has an idea that the manager may not fancy him, but yeah, I agree. I mean, Britt's the man. He's got the proven track record recently for the last couple of years. But 2 p.m. tomorrow, I mean, it's a very toss. It's a toss of coin job, isn't it?
I think what the style of play that Borough have been, and especially not Borough, Tony Pulis since he came has been playing suited Rudy. He can hold the ball up. He's strong. He's good in the air. You know, that's the sort of. That's the way that Borough have set up to get the maximum out of what he can do. So maybe Tony Pulis is going to have to change tact a little bit now. You know, look at the strikers that he's got available, and start playing to Britt's strengths maybe a little bit if it is going to be Britt.
And what are those? How do you get the best out of Britt?
I think play the channels. He can run the channels very well. I think that he is a finisher. He needs chances in the box. I mean, you know, Rudy doesn't really get many chances in the box in the way we've been playing, does he? It's all about sort of bringing the other players into play by holding it up. So maybe getting more bodies forward and supporting Britt and, you know, putting the chances on a plate for him in the box, because there's no doubting, you know, when in the box, when the chances fall at his feet, he has missed a lot of chances, but he puts them away as well, you know.
Yeah, well on that, because obviously Pulis said that he thinks that, I think his words were, although it's an area we've struggled, Rudy has looked most like scoring. Mm-hmm. Is that the case?
I think that's probably the case.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean,
you think Rudy's looked more of a goal threat than Sam Malonga?
That's because he's had more chances, I think, and equally the deliveries in the box, they tend to be aerial. Yeah. I mean, they under Pulis, they get the ball out to whoever the winger is or the fullback, and the cross goes in. And so obviously, someone of Gusted's kind of attributes will be more likely to score than a Sam Malonga in that. But yeah, no, I think he's probably right in that assessment, isn't he? But Britt will say, as you say, I mean, I think that Britt looks better on the counter attack. And if you look at when Borough were very good under Monk, you're probably looking at, you know, the likes of Hull and Reading. You know, when Borough scored early, let them come on and then counter attacked. But is Tony Pulis capable of setting Borough up as a counter attacking team? You'd probably say the defence is strong enough to cope with that, but. You know, he just like the long diagonal.
You know, if there's one player in the squad that Tony Pulis did not want to get injured, it would probably be Rudy Gusted.
Yeah. Which takes us back to January. The fear was come the end of January that, you know, Borough were one injury, one problem, and you had this, didn't you, when Rudy got sent off, and you think, well, suddenly you're short for 3 games. Now it's looking like 13. There's the obvious regret. I mean, this was the risk. Pulis took, wasn't it, when he allowed Braithwaite and Fletcher to go before he brought someone in?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, if Alexander Mitrovic had landed at Riverside, everyone would, you know, Gusted wouldn't be in the team anyway. But that's the worry, is clearly that Borough identified that they needed another striker in January, and kept it relatively under wraps until kind of deadline day and when that Mitrovic stuff came out. But I'm just surprised that Mitrovic, the deal might have fallen through very late on, but I'm a little surprised there wasn't someone else waiting in the wings, almost a plan B, because you look now, and I understand why they let Braithwaite go, albeit, you know, I agree with Bernie in his column, didn't he? He said that, look, players are unhappy all the time. Yeah, you can't, you know, if anyone is outside the 11, they're not happy. You can't just let everyone go because they're not happy. And Fletcher is another interesting one, isn't it? Because he probably would have got a sniff, Fletcher, I would have thought. He certainly would have been in and around the squad now.
Well, you said you're going to ask Chris Coleman tomorrow after the game as to whether there's a recall option for Borough, because he suddenly might have a hope.
You'd rather Fletcher would come back than Braithwaite. Clearly didn't want to be here. That's the difference. And Fletcher did want to be here, but wasn't going to get a game. That's the difference. That's why I think that even if both had recall options, which they probably don't, you probably wouldn't have Braithwaite back, but Fletcher might be one that would be worth considering.
Just going back and emphasising my point there, though, even if Braithwaite and Fletcher were still at the club alongside Bamford and Britt Sam Malonga, the way Borough have been playing over since Pulis came in, we are going to have to now change tack, because those four and five strikers are not going to be able to play and do the job that Rudy does. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Ayala up front?
Maybe, yeah.
Just on a Samba Longo, and how, I mean, now obviously this kind of question, we can only go on what we've seen. We're not on the training ground every day, and at the minute, obviously, we're not being able to ask Tony Pulis questions in the press conference or go to the press conferences. But what do you think of how Britta Samba Longo has responded to what has clearly been a difficult spell? I mean, the thing, for example, that caught my eye on Tuesday, and I know this is only something small, but when Bamford scored and Samba Longo was straight out to join in with that celebration and he was all smiles and, you know, is that just digging too deep, or is that credit to the player for kind of keeping his chin up and keeping smiling in what is a difficult time?
We see 10% of his week's work, don't we? So we don't know what he's like on the training pitch. We don't know what he's like around the place. I can't imagine him, you know, I can't imagine him being a disruptive and argumentative character. No. So I would imagine that he's probably working hard in training, waiting for his chance. He will now really be thinking that if this isn't my chance now to play every week until now at the end of the season, then, you know, when am I going to play?
He seems like he's got a lot of kind of self belief for Samba Longo, and if you look at kind of the adversity that he's had to come through in his career, obviously the injury is the obvious one to point out. He has overcome adversity before, and he's always believed that, you know, in his ability, and I think that will be the same. It's no kind of surprise that he's good friends with Patrick, so he's probably delighted for Patrick getting on the score sheet anyway. But I think there'll be, you know, albeit it'll be frustrating for him, I think that the way that Pulis is kind of using the stick approach to kind of rile him and get a reaction out of him, I think that he'll quietly enjoy that.
If I was him now, I'd be saying, like, the strikers that we've got at our disposal from now to the end of the season are all, you know, similar, aren't they? You know, as in, you haven't got like a big man like Rudy in there now. They're all sort of similar. So if I was him, I'd be going and knocking on Pulis' door and saying, like, now, you know,
give me a chance.
I'm your top scorer. Let me play. This is my chance, and I'll show you. That's what I would, as someone who is confident in themselves, who wants to play every week, who wants to score goals, who lives off scoring goals, that's exactly what I'd be doing, is bring down Pulis' door and saying, look, pick me, this is my chance, let me show you.
One word answer then, will it be a Samba Longo or Bamford on Saturday?
Samba Longo, I think.
Yeah, Britt. I think it'd be Britt.
I think had Jack Harrison been a little bit, had he played more by now, then it would have been a real interesting tussle. But I do think that Borough are very short on that left-hand side still. So Bamford's the least worst option out there. So I think Bamford will start, but I equally think Britt will start as well.
If you would think that if he was to go Bamford, then unless he does play Harrison, if he doesn't play Harrison, if he doesn't think Harrison's up to speed, then it'd be what he did at Cardiff with three midfielders, maybe Housen and down in Traore playing off. But away to Sunderland's a completely different game to away to Cardiff, isn't it? Which takes us on to Sunderland. Now, obviously, you're talking about kind of the shortage of having a Samba Longo and Bamford as the striking options, or what Chris Coleman would give for that. Because I remember when they came up here, they had two teenagers who I think had played two first team games between them. Ashley Fletcher's obviously the main man now. He can't play on Saturday, so they're going to be desperately short. It's surely got a weird win written all over it. It has to, doesn't it?
Oh, God.
This is a typical Borough. if any noise encapsulates that.
We sit on this podcast and in pubs and we talk about football and we talk about playoffs and can we do it. If we can't be going there tomorrow and picking up 3 points, and you can forget about talking about going up and getting in the playoffs, because we should be going and beating these tomorrow without any hesitation or any problem. But no, I would say that derby games are unpredictable, but apparently it's not a derby, is it?
No, it's not a derby. Don't say it's a derby.
It's just a team down the road.
Yeah.
It's like playing Hull.
Yeah, but it'll be a derby if they win.
Yeah,
it'll be an important derby win if they win tomorrow.
Well, it won't be long before the Sunderland fans are singing "We Hate Borough." That's often the case.
Yeah.
Talking to the stadium, like, it's been an absolutely miserable place for John. Two wins this season, I think 11 points from a possible 48. I'd seen Nick Barnes, the BBC Newcastle commentator, saying how he thinks the Borough fans and the atmosphere they take might actually benefit Sunderland, because it'll at least give it a sense of occasion and not just the kind of atmosphere of fear that's crept in there. I know this is the case often, but if Borough get the first call, surely it'll turn toxic and that should be that.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the game plan's got to be exactly what they did to them at the beginning of last season in August, where I actually thought that that was a day. I know it was right at the beginning of the Premier League season, but Sunderland were up for that. You know, call it a derby or not, I thought that there was a bit of spice in the air. There was a couple of tackles that went in early on. I expect that tomorrow, but I don't know. I think that they are there for the taking, aren't they? I mean, only Burton have got a worse home record. Mm-hmm. Only Burton. Mm-hmm. And I know that Borough on the road have had a couple of sticky afternoons of late, but with Rudiger Stead in the team, and that style that Borough would have played, I would have had it as a guaranteed away win, which sounds very odd considering the whole Gustedes on Bologna debate. Now, I probably still would be very surprised if Borough, with the quality they've got, didn't open up that Sunderland team.
Do you know, as soon as I heard them quotes off Coleman, I thought it was a strange thing to say, but then Jono picked it out, and you did a piece earlier on it, didn't you, saying that if this isn't a derby to them and we are just another game to them, then good, because guess it is a derby for us. Mm. We're revved up for it. You know, this is the one away fixture in the season alongside Leeds that, as a fan, I look for and say, that's it. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one we want. So if we go there tomorrow, all guns blazing with a derby feeling, let them just think it's another game, because I think they need to start thinking that games are important.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, every game, every single God, cliche alert, where is it? But every game for them now is must win. It's must win territory, isn't it? They're in dire straits.
I understand why Chris Coleman said what he did, because if he said, right, this is the big game, this is the derby, and they went and lost, the misery would have been twofold, and it's very difficult to then pick a team up off such an important game. But it is a derby, and if you ask Ben Gibson what it is, he'll say that it matters more than most. Yeah. Stuart Downing will say the same.
Just
Dale Fry.
Ben Gibson, I remember I was at Rockcliffe last year before the Christian Stuart game at the Stadium of Light, and Ben Gibson was put up on press duty before the Sunderland game. And there was four or five, you know, there was myself, there was Scott, I think Scott Wilson was there from the Northern Echo, and a few national reporters. And Ben knows that I'm a Teesider, I grew up here. And one of the first questions, one of the early questions was, you know, about being not a derby. And Gibson, you know, jumped in straight away. It's a derby. Absolutely no hesitation. It's a derby, isn't it? And almost turned as though to say, you know, to Borough, for those who've grown up here.
Yeah.
Fair enough, it might not be the derby for Sunderland, but it's still a derby. You can't get away from it.
I was watching an interview with Shuey earlier on. It was after we won at Reading and then Hull midweek. And then we played Sunderland the following weekend. And Stewie he said, you know, we have had two good wins there on the road. He said, but we've got Sunderland on Saturday, and that's what matters to me most, is beating Sunderland. And he said, and Ben will say the same thing. He said, this is a derby, it was. And that's what I want them going there with that attitude tomorrow.
Because if that gives them 5% extra, if that means I'm going to run that tiny bit more, I'm going to put my foot into that tackle, I'm going to, you know, if there's a little bit more nervous tension in the dressing room beforehand, that all has to be positive, and that's what Pulis, I'm sure, will harness. If Pulis has been around the block, and he you know, he didn't not call it a derby, did he? He said it's a huge game. He knows it, and it screams opportunity, because, I mean, Borough have got the better of Sunderland. You know, they seem to have the Indian assignment of them, don't they? They've won the last five.
But,
I mean, out of all of the games, this one tomorrow looks like the most nailed on win you've ever seen.
Done earlier on. I'd rather be, I'd be more confident playing them at the Stadium like tomorrow than I will be here.
Who is it a bigger game for?
Ooh, well, I think, well, but I'm not sitting the fence there.
It's obviously huge for both, but if
I think it's more important probably for Sunderland, purely just because I'm looking at that sixth spot for Borough, and you're aware that obviously Bristol City are at Cardiff. Now, Bernie said it would be a disaster if Borough drew tomorrow, which I understand what he's getting at, because they have to win these games to go up. But equally, it's not out of the question that Borough could draw on Saturday, Bristol City could lose at Cardiff, and Borough actually have bridged the gap
because
by one.
The top six.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But even then, it'd be a huge opportunity.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, without
yeah,
a shadow
yeah, yeah.
Of a doubt.
But, you know, we've seen that happen. Cardiff was a huge opportunity missed. You know, and all of a sudden, you look at the result midweek and a couple of other results, and we're within 3 points of the playoffs again. So,
I was going to say the Championship has the knack of doing that, doesn't it? Because I wasn't at Cardiff, but, you know, coming back to work on Monday, and the general feel is, and, you know, I was with a few of the lads on Saturday, you know, Borough season ticket holders, big fans, and the general feel was, that's it. That's that. And then 90 minutes later, and you know, a quick look at the fixtures, you suddenly think, well, actually, we're probably in a better position now. Mm. We've been in for weeks and weeks in terms of the playoff chance.
There's been numerous times throughout the season where we've lost and people have gone, that's it, and thrown the toys out of the pram. And said, but you know, look on the other side, Borough won 2 out of 3.
Mm.
You know, we go there. I know it's inconsistent. It's win, lose, win, lose, lose, win, win. You know, it's very sort of like drippy, drabby, inconsistent. But you're sometimes almost better doing that than being stuck in a rut, like drawing a load of games like Leeds are, because you get you nowhere.
The fact that Borough are still in the promotion race, bearing in mind, think about the season all the way back to Molineux and everything that's followed, and the Monk, Bristol City away. It's amazing that Borough are still in the chance of promotion, because it doesn't feel like a promotion season. But equally, I do agree that all the rivals are slipping up. It screams opportunity, but equally, everyone says there's one team that comes out of nowhere. Now, the narrative has been, right, it might be Borough, but Borough can't rest on the laurels there, because it might not be. It might be Sheffield United, it might be a Preston, Brentford. It might be a Brentford are coming out of nowhere. Borough can't wait.
We've still got to play quite a lot of teams.
Which team is it that you're looking at then, or teams looking at and thinking they could drop out? I mean, not to answer the question for you, but I think it's 2 wins in 8 now for Derby, 2 wins in 11 for Bristol City. Villa are too far gone, they're not going to slip out. Fulham only look to be going one way, Cardiff are going well. Is it just those two teams who could fall out of it?
I think so. I actually, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I actually had question marks over Cardiff, but what they've done over, you know, certainly by beating Borough and then going to Ipswich, you know, I shouldn't really have second guessed Warnock, really, but I did fancy them to drop out. But no, they're gone. Bristol City are the ones where they're sliding, and they're at Cardiff on Saturday. They've got a tough run in, and Derby are the ones where every year after Christmas they've collapsed. And I watched them on Wednesday, and they weren't up to much, I didn't think. Mm. No, I don't think that. I mean, what a Borough behind Derby, 8 points. It's still a big gap, but I don't think that they're home and dry at all.
They've got a shocking reputation for being bottle jobs, haven't they, Derby? They've done it how many times?
Mm.
I mean, I'm looking at it now, I think Wolves are top.
And they've won it, haven't they? Even a little slip on the side.
I think your top two, I think Villa will get second, personally.
Mm.
And then I'm looking at, I think Fulham are guaranteed a playoff position.
I think
Fulham second for the way they're going.
But, you know, it's one of, that could go either, you know, but your top sort of, probably four.
The four are gone.
Wolves, Fulham, Villa, Cardiff.
Yeah.
So you're looking at them two. I still think Derby will probably have enough to get a playoff spot. And then it's that sixth position that Bristol City are currently occupying, is between Bristol City, Sheffield United, Preston and Borough.
It's a four-team league, isn't it? Bearing in mind that Borough have Bristol City come at the Riverside, they've got to go to Bramall Lane, they've got to go to Brentford as well.
Mm-hmm.
That little mini league there is, you know, that trip to Brentford, for example, I think is huge.
They're more than one of them.
A few weeks ago, Tony Pulis said, didn't he,
miss them out of that little pack there as well, Brentford.
Mm. So Tony Pulis said a few weeks back, didn't he, that other teams will be giving Borough no chance in hell, or not a hope in hell, whatever it was he'd said. You know, you look at the table, you look at the squad Borough have got, you look at what every single manager has said about Borough this season. For those up there, Bristol City, Sheffield United, and those, Borough will still be well in their thoughts, won't they?
Without a shadow of a doubt, they don't want Borough breathing down their necks. I remember speaking to Danny Hickenbottom as early as, I think it was like November, December, when Monk was still in charge. Obviously, he does a lot of the Championship for Sky Sports, and he said that out of all the teams that are outside the top six at the minute, the one team that they won't want is Middlesbrough. With that squad having got promoted, with the bulk of the squad being the spine of the promotion squad before, they're the ones that Bristol City will not want Borough breathing down their necks. Mm. Bristol City, I can understand if there's an argument of how it's a bit of a free hit for them, but you ask the fans, because the fans have been giving Lee Johnson pelters in recent weeks because they're dropping. They might be sixth, but the pressure is certainly on Bristol City.
Bearing in mind that they were like being talked about as top two 5 weeks ago.
Mm.
I think since that semi-final against Man City, they can't buy one, can they?
Yeah. But it all comes down to Borough, doesn't it? I mean, if Borough, you know, there's no excuses now, looking at the table now and the fixtures now. I remember me and you looked in the office, didn't we, this week, Dom, and we thought, Borough's running is actually very good. Yeah. Like, very good. You're probably only looking at, you know, Brentford away will be tricky, Sheffield away, Derby away, but the rest, I mean, the teams that they're welcoming to the Riverside, good running. If Borough don't get up from this position, they only have themselves to blame, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, Borough's record against, you know, you look at the games coming up, Hull were dreadful, weren't they, on Tuesday night. Sunderland, what we've seen so far, are dreadful. They've got Birmingham to come, they've got Barnsley to come. Now, they're all opportunities. Leeds are in a bit of a sticky slide. They're poor teams. You have got some big games to come, obviously, after that. Who are the best teams? Who are the three standout teams you've seen so far this season? Because the team, obviously, Wolves on the first day of the season, but I think Borough caught them too early for us to chat. Preston, the team that springs to mind for me, I thought they were excellent both times Borough played them.
Mm.
I think Borough are fortunate to have picked up 4 points from that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I remember certainly first half at Deepdale. I thought that Preston were as good as
Fulham were very good, weren't they, at Craven Cottage?
Yeah, Fulham at Craven Cottage, they just lacked a striker, which they've now got. And then I did actually think Brentford were decent when they were up here, albeit they were pretty close to the relegation zone at that point.
At no point this year have you walked away from the ground thinking, like, you know, Borough are a million miles away from them.
No.
Borough are nowhere near Borough, light years away. In isolation, you've looked and thought, this Borough team surely can't be good enough to go up. Mm. But when you compare them against other teams, there's no one really. And Wolves, obviously the league table is what it is. They are miles ahead. But like I say, we saw them on the first day of the season when you're a Daniel Ayala slip away from getting what would have been a very good point.
Yeah,
right?
And Martin Braithwaite, and it was just before our time, which could have set the tone. But I mean, you know, that day at Molineux, I thought, I don't think Wolves deserve to win the game. I didn't walk away going, God, they're going to win, they're going to be up there. You know, so I know it's first game of the season. Look, I think in that pack you can go 1 to maybe 11 and they're all probably as good as each other, aren't they?
I think
really, on the day.
Borough have, still for me, and even anyone in the top half, they have the one game changer in Traore.
Yeah.
No one else has a Traore. Mm-hmm. And it's, if they can keep his performances up between now and May, then I'm certain that Borough will be there, because he's the weapon that everyone wants that no one's got. And I think he's been woefully underused this season, certainly in the Monk regime. How Adama Traore and Ryan Shotton for that matter as well at the time, how Gary Monk will have watched training day in day out and thought that Traore can't be in the starting 11, I'll never know.
He must be licking his lips about tomorrow, mustn't he? Imagine him making a general share.
I mean, the Sunderland left back, you know, you're watching, you're preparing, and surely, you know, we were talking earlier about how Chris Coleman's game plan will have changed, and we wondered whether Tony Pulis's decision to put his press conference back to 1 o'clock on the afternoon instead of the morning, was that something to do with Gisted and the fact he didn't want to give Coleman too much of an opportunity? Might be absolutely nothing, as you said, you know, football's a village, isn't it? And Coleman may well have found out beforehand. But you would imagine that Coleman had been preparing for Rudy Gisted, but also the game plan, as you found out when you spoke to Daniel Fark at Norwich General for opposition teams at the minute, is purely around trying to stop Traore. If you stop Traore, you've got a half decent chance against Borough.
And that's where, for me, Harrison then comes in, because that at Cardiff, that was what was missing. Traore will have off days. I still thought he was Borough's best player then, but he will get marshalled well now and then. But what Borough need is that other one on the other flank then to really stretch it. And
what was the pitch out?
Harrison might be the one. I'd love to see him at the stadium. We've seen 7 minutes of him, and I was impressed in 7 minutes. I was very, don't want to go over old ground, but I was amazed that he didn't come off the bench on Tuesday with the game won. I thought that was a perfect opportunity for him to get minutes. Mm. But he's the one where, if he can get up to speed, it could be the game changer.
What did you make of Harrison? I know it's 5, 6, 7 minutes.
At Cardiff, I thought he looked lively. I thought he looked good. I thought that he carried the ball well. That run that he went on was good. It looks like he's got a trick. So I want to see more of him. We haven't really been given any indication as to how close he is. All we know is he hasn't played much football. He's in pre-season. He'll play when he's ready, But how far off is he?
Well, we actually touched upon that. Might well be next season, mightn't it?
Yeah.
Just made it very clear early doors, didn't he, that they're looking to get him next year.
I think tomorrow is, if you're going to play him, I think tomorrow is probably the perfect opportunity to do it, because I would like to think that Borough can get a grip of the game where we're not going to really be doing that much defending, and you can just say, right, just go and do what you can do, like you're doing more Bessich. Bessich came off after an hour. Can Harrison go and do an hour tomorrow? And let's see what in a game where we're probably going to be having a lot of the ball and attacking more tomorrow.
What would you do central midfield tomorrow?
If you're going with two, I'd go Bessich and I'd go Leadbitter for the Sunderland factor.
For that first 50-50 with Catamol.
Yeah, well, sweep. Who'll get the first yellow tomorrow? Catamol, Bessich or Leadbitter? and after how long? I'm going Cattermole less than 15 minutes.
I think I'm going to go for Shotton, you know. I reckon Shotton's got it. We were saying, who do we think's the...
Well, the Sunderland left back.
The real...
30 seconds, yeah. Sunderland left back.
Who's the real hard man? Shotton, for me.
I think what's interesting, I mean, he's played a game and a half, but Besic is nailed on and he's looked good, hasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He moves across. I'm very impressed with the way he moves across the pitch. He's got a good motor. He passes the ball well. He passes it crisp. So he's probably sort of coming now and is your number one centre midfield, and it's up for Leadbitter and Housen to battle that out. I mean, Leadbitter played on Tuesday. You said a couple of weeks ago, John, I don't think Pulis has dropped Leadbitter when he's been available, has he?
Has he not?
I can't really remember Leadbitter being dropped.
He dropped Housen for Norwich, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it was Besic and Leadbitter tomorrow, which I don't have a problem with. You know, Grant will be up for that.
I think long term Housen will get back in that team.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Adam Clayton. He's got to keep rolling because without doing him a disservice, he's clearly in Tony Pulis's thoughts as a substitute, as Deriva was often used in the early days of McLaren. He tends to be his go-to man. Now we know Clayton can offer so much more than that, so that's not, like I say, to do him a disservice. But at the minute, that's the role he's playing, isn't it?
And it'd be interesting now Gusted is out. Would that mean Lewis Baker takes his place in the 18? Do you think? Because we saw him move up to the bench, didn't we, at the weekend? And that's been the mystery of the season, really, because I don't think that he looked terrible by any stretch of the imagination when he played. Will he still have a role to play?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Oh, then we'll finish with predictions.
0-0.
Oh, God.
Boris started life without Rudiger's charge with a 0-0.
Do you know what? We, in reality, really, we should be going there and winning the game comfortably, but that's not what Borough do, is it? So I'm going to go for a nervy 1-0 win.
Goal scorer?
Traore.
I look and say, have Sunderland got the weapons to hurt Borough based on what we've seen? And I don't think they do. So Borough will win to nil. It'll probably be tight. I think it might be 1-0.
I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0 or Sunderland longer.
Across the board, then.
First or last goal. Yeah.
So we'll all be very disappointed by 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. We'll go on down after 5 minutes.
Thank you, fellas. Enjoy the game and enjoy the weekend. Take care.